Good. We're finally on Ephesians 6. Okay? We're on the last chapter. And, yep, there's only about five more sermons on Ephesians. And, I update them every now and then. If you're not on that email list, then do tell me, because I send it out kind of the summary there, so you can scratch the other one when it's updated, or do whatever you want. Lord, we just pray for the anointing of your Spirit, because what we want to do is we want to grab the Word of the living God and we want to tie it into our lives. And we know that the enemy wants to block that with whatever is in our life, with whatever is in our attitude, whatever. And so we ask that by your Spirit you will open up doors so that we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We've all learned obedience as children to our parents. Whether we had good parents or bad parents, we learned as children. As children, we had rules in the family. The authority of parents over children was once seldom questioned, but today, who knows what's happening. In the same way, we need to accept the authority of God over our lives. So, parenting is a huge responsibility, and you get no practice. At least not for the first one. And then after you have more than one, sons are different from daughters and each kid's different. Oh, gosh. You just feel like you're starting from scratch all over again. Okay. So some kids need a smack and some just need a stern look and they come into line, which is good. We learn good parenting and bad parenting from our parents, both of which are useful in our role as parents. But most importantly is that we apply all that we know about parenting and being children to understand God's fatherly relationship to each of us. Faith, if it's a trusting relationship with God, makes us his children. So, Galatians 3, for you are all sons of God through faith. So that's the faith relationship, through faith in Christ Jesus. Not knowing about, but knowing him. The knowing about is also there, but knowing him is how you got there. At salvation, we trusted God to save us and surrendered our lives to him. So John 1. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. This is a right. In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul applies what God has spoken to his people in the Old Testament, to the Gentile Corinthian church. He can do that because the character of God is the same. It remains unchanged. God pleads with us not to be tied to the ways of the world because we now represent the family. O Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. What a command. So accepting membership in the family of God cements our allegiance to him. The idols of the world must be deposed. If we are to avoid being yoked to the world, then career, cars, house, garden, possessions, entertainment, holidays, TV, sport, anything else which creates a bondage that weakens God's influence on our life has to be put aside. We can't proceed with an activity that leaves God out. because he has to be our constant companion. A further remarkable asset about being in God's family is that we are led by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In a world where we continually need guidance, this is an enormous privilege. This is just part of our inheritance in the flesh. Galatians 4 says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but an heir, and if a son, you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Being an heir makes the gift of the Holy Spirit something that cannot be stolen or lost. I can drop my keys, I can crash my car, I can ruin my reputation, I can become sick and lose my health, but I cannot lose my status in God, in God's family. No one can steal that from me. Just as Jeremiah proclaims to us, it is not our might or our riches or our wisdom that has any weight at all before the throne of God, but that we know him. For all our sins are wiped out. You are not what people say you are. You are a child of God. You know this verse well. I've quoted it many times. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory or boast in his wisdom, nor the mighty man in his might, and the rich man in his riches, but let him glory or boast of this, that he understands and knows me. That's it. That's the solid rock. That's it. That you understand and know God. For I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight. If you know your father, you know what he loves. Isn't that true? You know your dad, you know what he loves. And these things he delights. Now, worse than others challenging your status as a child of God is the doubt that Satan loves to put on us. So the Bible gives you a test. It says in 1 John 3, by this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So, the proof has got two strands. Firstly, do you love the things that Dad loves? That's the proof of your family. Kids take after their parents whether they want to or not. Do you love the same things? Talk the same way? Have the same strong points? I think I told you the embarrassing point of one of my daughters was in the library at Darlington there, and someone said to her, you're Rob Merrill's daughter, aren't you? And she didn't even know him, just by the looks of Cara. No daughter wants to look like her dad. Poor thing. Anyway. But that's the thing. You're like Dad. Now, and family is family. You know, you can sound off about your brother and sister, but woe betide anybody else who does it, because you step into the loyalty flame straight away. You know, yeah, you can't say this about my brother. I can, but you can't. This verse doesn't mean that if you fail, you lose your sonship. I think I told you before how as a young man, I was so disgusted at my weakness because I decided to read through the Bible. And I'd failed, not once or twice, but year after year, I'd failed to read through the Bible. Then God spoke to me and said, look, the very fact that you are trying to read through the Bible is proof that you belong to me. No one outside the family even bothers. So practice righteousness means you do the things that non-believers would never think of doing. You do prayer. You do studying the Word. Forgiveness. Building up and encouraging a brother or sister in the walk with the Lord, giving to believers that you don't even know, are all signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, children, obey your parents. Not adults, children, obey your parents. This link is right because it serves to help us understand that we are children in the family of God. This obedience is essential to remove any blockages, and there are blockages all the time, aren't there? The blockages, doors that are just shut, to our loyalty and our inheritance as children. So what do you want? You want the stuff that the Father wants to give you. and we want to knock out those blockages. But obedience has to be from the heart. If we need the threat of punishment, then that obedience is not from the heart. Obedience in the flesh is necessary in the community. See, if you break the speed limit, you will be fined $200. I try not to speed, not because I love the police, but because I don't want to lose the money. That's honesty for you. Yes. And I guess also I think it's safe not to speed. But see, that's not obedience from the heart. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of the flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now, believers, present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So, obedience has to come from the heart. When Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right, he means spiritually right. The rightness of God is above the rightness of the flesh. Me obeying the speed, me getting a ticket there for parking in Midland. I was fined $45 for going into police and nurses for 3 minutes. I was so angry. But anyway, I've recovered. I've forgiven the Shire. Yes, but there we are. You get the ticket now, not out of heart or anything, but because I was smacked. Yes. The rightness of God is above the rightness of the flesh. There are many believers who think that sin is okay because we're now under grace. So whatever we do in the flesh doesn't count. Because of the grace of God, it's bigger than our sins. Now that's partly true, but it also betrays the bondage for that believer. All people are slaves to the one they obey. That is what it says. The one you obey, you're a slave to that. If the master is anyone except for God himself, then that bondage will lead to a separation from God. So, if you have to go to the football, if you have to have a new car, if you have to go on a holiday, if you have to go to the movies or whatever binds you, you are a slave to that thing. But at our conversion, we chose to obey God from the heart. Because we said, you are on the throne and we worship you. You are the God of my life and I choose to obey you. We choose to want what he wants. We choose that. Because we look at all the things we want and we make mistakes all the time, all the time, all the time. But when we come into the presence of God, we say, no, I want what you want. Whatever it is, that is worship. The magnificent gift of the minor prophets is that we can see the heart of God revealed to us. Of all the prophets, from Isaiah right through to Malachi, you see the heart of God. So now we present our members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. We do what is right, not because it's the rule, but because we want to please the Father. That's what we do. The book of Malachi is an example of fake love. Our text reminds us of the commandment for children to obey their parents in the Lord, for it is right. Obedience without honor is often demanded at schools, in society. God disdains that type of obedience. See, the people in Malachi's time had returned with Nehemiah to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. In front of them was utter ruins. And they looked at the ruins and concluded that God did not love them. So you have this quote from Malachi 1, and it starts off like this. The burden of the word of the Lord, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel. But see, this is a burden of God. And he says, to Malachi, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, how did you love me? In what way have you loved us? I can see the ruins. I can see carcasses, dead bodies around there. I see all of that all around. How have you loved us? And they'd missed it. They'd missed it. And God comes to this point further on in Malachi 1 and he says, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands, because it is fake. See, you as a father, you as a mother, we know fake. We know fake. But how dare we come into the presence of God with fake offering? God says, I wish I had someone to just shut the door, okay? And I don't want fire on the altar. I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with fakeness. I want you to worship me. I want you and me together. I want the love of a child for the Father. I want that. I want the hug. I want you to sit on my lap. I want you to look into my eyes. I want you to cry with me. I want you to laugh with me. I want you to play with me. I want real love. Malachi proclaims the oracle, this burden to the people. God is fed up with the phony reverence. It is a burden. Who are we kidding? People can fool people, but we can't fool God. Honoring our parents is the lesson we have so that we honor God in heaven. This may be obvious, but we often don't do it. If you have never knelt before God, I encourage you to do it. Because you are a whole person, body, soul, and spirit. And stuff you do with your body comes from your heart. And I really, you know, you might find it embarrassing, I don't know, whatever. But not when, you haven't got that excuse when you're alone. When you're alone in your study, when you're alone in your bedroom, when you're alone, to kneel before God. And people, I know there is stuff on your heart that aches. I know that. I know that in prayer times you can pray kind of the stuff which doesn't hurt. But there is stuff on your heart which aches and breaks. And God wants you to ache and break and cry before Him. Kneel before Him and put that stuff out and say, Lord, I can't fix this. I just don't know how to fix it. Put it before Him. Because it is that closeness that He says, that's what I want. I don't want fire kindled on my altar uselessly. I want you. I want the father-child relationship. I want you. I want that. I want real stuff. Obedience presupposes that there is an absolute right. If a child has not learned obedience, the community suffers and has to deal with it. Every community has rules for survival, and the ultimate punishment, of course, is death. But even lesser punishments will produce either repentance or resentment and revenge. I'm not a nice person. Try to pretend to be, but deep down, yeah, I have so many vengeful thoughts that I have to deal with. That's one of the struggles I have with the Spirit, you know, get even. I don't want sympathy, I want revenge. Yes. One of the things I've fought for, yeah, 68 years. But we are earthly fathers, and there's a warning for us. This is it. The promise is that it may be well with you, and your life may be, and you may live long on the earth. Provoke is the opposite of persuade.